Thank you for downloading the latest podcasts from the Canada-Europe Transatlantic Dialogue housed at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Anka Gurzu. For terms of use, please refer to the publication section of our website, www.canada-europe-dialogue.ca.
Hello, this is Allison Conrad. I'm a professor of organizational behavior and the holder of the Chorus Entertainment Chair in Women in Management at the Richard Ivey School of Business, Western University.
Why is it important to focus on having more women in leadership positions in general?
In general, there is a really solid business case for having more women in business leadership. First, we know that if we can utilize the full complement of talent in our country, that is going to give us a competitive advantage in a global economy with worldwide competition. Next, and consumer goods industries have really gotten on board with this, it's important to have women in decision-making positions when you are trying to connect with female customers. And female customers wield well over 50% of the consumer dollars in the global economy. Third, we find that women in leadership positions will broaden the discussion around the decision-making table. Women tend to be longer-term in focus, helping companies to have a sustainable profitability over a long time, as opposed to more myopic obsession with the next quarter's short-term earnings.
How does the situation in North America compare to the situation in European Union and member states?
It's very interesting. The average proportion of women on corporate boards in largest companies in Europe is pretty much the same as the average proportion in the United States and Canada. It's 15% in European Union member states, 16% in the U.S., and 14.5% in Canada. So we seem to hit a certain plateau across the Atlantic in this way.
I know that the European Commission has started tackling this topic as well, and there is a draft law right now that's seeking to achieve a 40% objective in terms of having women on corporate boards. What are your thoughts on this initiative?
Well, it's very interesting. It certainly seems to be following the parameters of the model of Norway that we saw in 2003, where 40% of board directors were required to be women by January of 2008. So they've chosen the same goal number. They're giving companies more time. The target should be met by 2020, and this is also focused on large publicly traded companies. Small and mid-sized companies that are publicly traded are allowed to set their own goals. Still, this would affect about 5,000 companies in the European Union. Another important difference is in Norway, there was a very harsh penalty for non-compliance, and that would be dissolution of the company and delisting from the stock exchange. So all companies met the goal because none of them wanted to be dissolved. It was like a corporate death penalty. In the EU proposal, each member state is asked to develop its own set of sanctions, and so there would be a variety of choices there.
From your research, were you able to find out why, in general, presently women represent such a small percentage of corporate board management?
There are a few important factors that lead to the low representation of women in leadership positions as well as on boards. The most important factor, in my view, is something that my co-author Margaret Yap from Ryerson University and I called the mid-level bottleneck in the management hierarchy. In Canada, about 18% of senior officer positions in the FP 500 are women. It's not a large proportion, but the women who do make it to that level do no longer experience a promotion disadvantage compared to men. So we don't have a glass ceiling in the sense that once you get to senior management, your further rise of your career is unimpeded. But where we do see the big difference is in the middle management levels. There was significant and substantial bias in favor of promoting men. So while we'll see about 37% of our managers in Canada are women, because of that mid-level bottleneck in promotability, only 18% of the senior officers are women. So that is a big stumbling block.
Are quotas the right way to tackle this?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I would say yes, but it's important to make sure that the quota that is proposed is feasible for the company to attain. So what happened in Norway was that the quota was set at 40%. Prior to the quota, only 6.8% of board directors were women. So that was a very steep goal. and companies were only given 5 years to achieve it. This turned out to be quite difficult, and we have new data now that came out of the Quarterly Journal of Economics, which is published at Oxford, a 2012 study that found, unfortunately, the quota had a negative effect on firm financial performance in Norway. One of the interesting things about the findings is that those companies that had women on their boards already did substantially better after the quota than firms that did not have women on their boards and had to scramble to find somebody. So this findings, you know, made me sad, and it gave me pause, and it made me think that, yes, a quota is good for definitely getting the bodies in the seats, but the number should be set in a way that is feasible for companies to meet it and then slowly ratchet it up over time till you hit the 40%.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Anka.